Welcome to the Boogie Down Bombers Podcast. A podcast talking all things Yankees and baseball.
Now batting for the Yankees.
Now, here's your hosts, Austin, Tim, and Nick.
And welcome back to the Boogie Down Bombers Podcast, where you should use code Boogie and get an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more on the Thrive Fantasy app. Today, we're going to go right into basically what the Yankees have been doing the past week, which has not been good. It has not been a solid week for the Yankees. Started off, Stanton hits the IL with a hamstring issue. We don't know the severity of it yet, I don't believe.
Oh, I think John Heyman tweeted it, of course, making a big inference, so I don't know how much you want to trust Heyman, but he said it's a grade one. It takes 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
3 to 4 weeks. I mean, it's obviously not what you want, especially considering how well Stanton has been playing. He actually hit a home run the game he got hurt. And the thing with Stanton, we talked about it last episode, it wasn't really just him hitting homers. He looked comfortable at the plate. So it really sucks to see him get hurt. But at the same time, we can kind of afford it, I guess you could say. Because Talkman has been absolutely on fire. And while obviously it sucks to see Stanton go down, Talkman's going to have an everyday spot in the lineup now.
Yeah, thank God for that. Because, like, I've always been... It seemed like they were kind of trying to platoon him out in left field. Left field. But now this forces him in there, and it also forces our boy Clint Frazier into the lineup, or at least onto the squad. He's not in the lineup tonight, though, against Atlanta on Tuesday.
Honestly, it sucks. Obviously, you don't want to see anyone get hurt ever, especially when they're on your team. But I'm so happy Clint has a spot on a team. Because this is a guy who is big league hitter ready. And while he's not as great defensively, I don't think he's as much of a liability as people make it out to seem. He's improved. No,
I don't think he even has to play in the outfield this year. I think he can just DH as long as Stanton's hurt.
Now, Stanton's not going to be hurt the whole year, but Frazier is able to hit. We've seen it every time he's come up, which is why I question why he keeps going back down. Because we were trying to get Andujar a bunch of at-bats to start off this season, because of his bat, and obviously his defense is horrible. So why weren't we trying to do that for Clint?
Yeah, I don't know.
Especially
to do with service time? I'm kind of confused with service time.
Especially when Frazier is a way better defender than Andujar is.
Yeah, I mean, at least Frazier has played outfield before this season.
I mean, he could play left or right. He actually, when we traded for him, he was a center fielder. But he could play left or right. Andujar can't play anywhere, to be honest with you. And I love Andujar. We've had arguments before where I truly feel he should have been Rookie of the Year that year. He was a doubles machine. He still is a very good hitter. But there is nowhere on this team for him.
Well, it is a shame.
You look at third base, and he can't play third base. He cannot play third base. And Urshela is there. Urshela has fully emerged as our third baseman. You look at left, when Gardner's not playing, we have Talkman, who could play there, who should be playing there. And we have Frazier, who can play defense there better than Andujar can, and has an equal bat to Andujar. So, honestly, I feel like this is the year where we have to trade Andujar. We were
saying he really doesn't have a spot anymore.
He doesn't.
It's almost like with Frazier, with how the Yankees haven't given him a chance really, but and like people were saying, trade him, just let Frazier go, start somewhere else. But with Stanton's injury, Frazier has a spot open now that he can battle for with Talkman. But Andujar's gotten his chances in third and in a whole different position at left field. And it's really just, it's time. He's gotta go, as much as I hate to say it.
If we didn't have Urshela, Andujar would be playing every day. But the fact is, Urshela emerged as our third baseman. And I don't know how much they're paying that hitting coach down in Scranton, but it better be a lot of money with how he fixed Urshela. Urshela's story is absolutely incredible. Where a few years ago, he was with Cleveland. He played in the playoffs against us and had major mistakes in defensively. Goes to Toronto. We get him for cash, like $25,000, is what we got in Urshela for. So his story is insane, and we still see Cashman hate sometimes, but I don't understand it.
Neither do I.
I do not get it. Look at our infield. Our infield is full of phenomenal Cashman moves. You look at third base, and we have Gio Urshela, who is a capable third baseman, major league hitter, solid spot in the lineup. Then you go to short, and you have Gleyber Torres, possibly the greatest move Cashman has ever done, with trading Chapman to the Cubs, getting Torres, and then we get Chapman back in the offseason. Then you look at second, you have DJ LeMahieu, who we paid like $3 for, and he's been an absolute MVP. And then you look at first base, and we have Luke Voit, who we got rid of. We got him for Chase and Shreve. I mean,
it seems like if Yankees Twitter got their way, and let's say they traded Stanton, then that means Talkman has what? 1.5 years till he goes on a slump, and Twitter's like, we need to trade Talkman, get Talkman off this team. And then they trade it. Like, if Yankees Twitter got their way, we would have a completely different lineup every single year. Yankees Twitter has no patience with anything. It is frustrating having having Stanton get hurt again. And who was talking? Oh, John and Susan were talking about him being too muscly. And it reminds me of Reggie Jackson. He used to get injured all the time because he's too big. I think that could totally be a possibility. The only thing is he kind of lost some muscle and some weight this year. But I don't blame the guy. It is frustrating, but I don't want to trade Stanton. And you can't even trade Stanton with his contract. So we saw how good he can be when he's healthy, and I think he's going to come back and be fine. If not for most of the regular season, we'll have him for the playoffs again.
It said a month, so that's granted. This season is much shorter, but
a month is September 10th, September 11th. It'll be when he comes back.
Jesus, it really is crazy with how the season works. But we've seen Stanton get hurt before, and hopefully it stops soon, because this guy can play, despite what some people think, for whatever reason. I don't know what games they're watching, but he had 38 home runs 2 years ago. For us, I don't know what they forgot. Like, 38 home runs over 100 RBIs for Stanton. But yeah, he struck out, so what? I said it in the last podcast, I don't care about strikeouts. I don't. But
the
only
thing with that though is Stanton's exit velocity on ground balls. If he put the ball in play more, he would either be getting on base because of errors, or balls would just be getting past defensemen. So it would be nice if he put the ball in play, because he hits the ball so damn hard.
He does. He hits that ball every time he hits the ball. It's over 100 miles an hour. It's ridiculous. Exactly. I've seen.
Stall for a second. I can see if he's leading the MLB in exit velocity.
Yeah.
It's Tatis.
I've seen a few live Stanton home runs at games, and I think I've seen three of them, and I think all three are the three hardest home runs I've ever seen live. Cespedes had one a few years ago when I was at a Mets game with my brother. That was an absolute rocket. But Stanton, he's built different. His home runs, there's not one home run that I could think of where you're like, is that going to get out? Like, every single home run is an absolute piss missile.
Yeah, like the one he had that leads the majors in exit velocity this year, 121 miles an hour, which is five more than the second hardest hit ball.
It's ridiculous how hard he hits that ball. And no matter if it's...
The launch angle was... Oh, that might not have even have been a... never mind.
Like, even... If he hits it high, he hits it low, or if he hits it directly straight, it doesn't matter. The ball is going to be the fastest hit ball it could possibly be.
And the farthest, because he hit the one he hit was 483 feet, which is the longest in the majors.
483 feet. That's a far ways off.
It really is.
And
that was to left field, too.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. He's so good, and I can't wait for him to come back. But as we talked about, it's easier since we have Talkman. Because now, the way you position it could be interesting. Because I don't know if you want to take Gardner and put him into a DH spot. But... You could put Gardner in left and Talkman DH, but it's weird because those are two very good defenders. But you could play around with that. Voit could DH a few times, and then you can move LeMahieu over to first. Then you have a spot at second. So there's a few different ways they could go about it, but who do you think is going to fill the DH role?
Frazier. You got Hicks in center. They like him. They're sticking to him. They're betting him third, which I don't have any problem with because batting order doesn't make too much of a difference statistically, like run-wise. You could bet in any order, and obviously you want Judge batting second, but besides that, really, you're not going to be getting too much of a difference. I want Hicks in center, Talkman in left, and Judge in right, and then you can... You can't platoon left field, but you can use Gardner to give Talkman some days off. I think Gardner's ready to be a backup role. They're essentially the same player. Talkman's just younger.
True. And faster. He pretty much is Gardner from back when Gardner first came up.
Yeah. Gardner is...
They're very similar players. Though.
He's having a good year, though.
And he did last year. Gardner's a good player.
118. Yeah.
Gardner's a good player. He always starts off slow, and it gets people mad at him right away. But he's a good player, and it's great that we have him on this team. He doesn't need to play every day. I don't think he's one of those guys that like has to play in order to get like an ability to hit anymore. And having Talkman is just, it's better to have more talent than less talent, obviously.
Good point.
So, moving on from that, where do you think...
Nick is?
Where is Nick, actually?
He texted, he's, the Wi-Fi in his vacation is not working.
What a shame. Rest in peace, Nick.
Talkman and Gardner have the same weighted runs created plus at 118 right now.
So where do you think... Where do you think Andujar will be at the end of the year? Do you think he'll be on the Yankees, or do you think he'll be off in space like Nick?
I don't know who's going to even be trading. Like, the Yankees need another bullpen arm, I think. I think they should go after a bullpen arm instead of a starting pitcher. We can get into that next month, but are we really, like, who wants, I guess someone can take a waiver on Talkman or on Andujar. I guess someone can take a waiver on Andujar for a pitcher they have no team control over next year, and they have to be a team that's completely out of it, because with eight teams making the playoffs in each league, most teams are at least going to sniff the playoffs, so it's going to be hard to make a trade, especially with Andujar, who's not playing well this year. He's batting .074.
True, and he hasn't had... But I think teams are going to want Andujar. I don't think there's going to be a struggle to find someone who wants Andujar. The struggle is going to be who wants Andujar that's willing to trade away a good pitcher.
In a 60-game season where you could... Tell
anyone can make
the
it.
The Marlins and Orioles are going to make the playoffs. They're not going to, but if they fool around long enough, they've had a good start, they might not be sellers at the deadline.
Yeah.
Which would be dumb. They should just sell. It's like the Giants last year. The Giants fooled themselves into buying at the deadline, or at least not selling. That was stupid. They should have sold.
I'm trying to think because, I don't think there's anyone on the Orioles that I want.
There's this one pitcher.
I mean, Michael Gibbons is good if you want a bullpen arm. And I think, like, John Means in terms of a starter. But other than that...
Michael Gibbons, 35% strikeout rate. Pretty damn good.
Yeah, Michael Gibbons is pretty good.
Zero ERA, 153 ERA plus. Ooh, but he has an xFIP of 4.3. Sheesh.
Explain xFIP.
His FIP is what he has produced, but his expected FIP is like what his FIP should be.
Oh, okay.
Based on like exit velocity and defensive positioning. Or not defensive positioning, just based on exit velocity.
So when people hit the ball off of him, they hit it hard, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but moving on from that, while we were talking about all these people the Yankees are losing, the one we're losing the longest is Tommy Kahnle.
Yeah, I can't believe we haven't talked about this yet.
And this absolutely sucks. I hated this whole thing. Because obviously you hate when one of your players goes down and they're good. You hate it because you're going to be missing them on the field. But also, Tommy Kahnle is just a great dude. And to see him have to go through a Tommy John surgery, it just sucks. It's kind of heartbreaking. Am I worried about his future? No.
No, especially as a reliever.
Kahnle, I think he's going to be fine. And Tommy John surgery isn't what it used to be. It's actually to the point now where I'm shocked when someone hasn't had Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's going to have it. And he's going to be out probably around a year. Which sucks. Because he's such a... Not only is he such a... like an eccentric player and a fan favorite, and it's a locker room favorite. I remember when I was watching Garrett Cole's, I think it was his first spring training, press conference, and they asked like who are you like hanging out with, and he brought up Hap because they played together in Pittsburgh and whatnot. Then he goes, and then I met. He goes, I've gotten to know Tommy a bit just by hearing him a lot. So, he's a very loud, eccentric, and everyone seems to love... A Nick Swisher type is a way to put it, which we have to bring him up later. But, you know, it just... And not only is he so good for the team in that way, but he's been our best reliever.
Yeah, as you were saying all that, I was trying to pull it up, and I just got it. Out of the bullpen last season, Tommy Canley was behind only Aroldis Chapman in strikeout percentage. 35.5 strikeout percentage, 8.1 walk rate. That's huge. That's a huge in a good way. He underperformed with his FIP and XFIP. His XFIP was 2.69, and his FIP was 3.33. That's good. He was the second best reliever on the team last year, as you know, behind Chapman.
Yeah, but behind
by all
someone
these stats
who...
and by WAR. Yeah.
Now, I think, how good is Chapman in terms of his career? Do you see Chapman ever being able to be a Hall of Famer?
He doesn't get the publicity that it felt like Mariano, obviously not Mariano Rivera got, but he's not getting what Rivera got, what Hoffman got. And again, I'm not trying to say he's that good. I haven't looked at the numbers yet, and I don't expect him to be that good statistically. But what's that jabroni's name in Chicago?
Kimbrel?
Yeah. Kimbrel, again, he's better, but he gets the folklore. No one talks about Chapman. Even though he's
weird.
Sporting a career, what, 15 K per nine? That's gigantic.
That's ginormous, yeah.
A two FIP, and 20 WAR for a closer is really high. He's got 20 WAR in 10 seasons.
And it's not over. I mean, he's not slowing down.
And you want to talk about saves? He's got 273.
And most of those were with the Reds.
Yeah, seven seasons over 30 saves. That's huge.
So if Tommy Canley is just under Chapman, I wanted to put into perspective how good Chapman was. He's just under Chapman.
And you got also Chad Green as well. Those were their best three relievers last year.
And so far this year, our relievers have been unbelievable. I mean, what was it? Green, Britton, and Canley up until the injury.
And Ottavino's no slump.
Obviously. And I mean, all the people we just named, Chapman, Britton, Green, Canley, Ottavino, they could all be closers somewhere else. All of them.
You know what I'd like to see the Yankees start doing and they're not going to do?
Use different closers?
And it's not even essentially using different closers. It's using your best closer in the most important situation. Yankees are winning 4-3 in the top of the seventh. Bases loaded, two outs.
You want to put in Chapman?
Go bring in Chapman. Get the out that matters. Who's to say you're going to have that situation in the ninth inning? And if
that
you
makes
do,
sense.
You got Chad Green. This is what the Rays are doing, and I like it.
It makes sense. I get
Why
it.
Would you keep your best pitcher for the ninth inning just for a stat that doesn't really mean anything anymore? It's kind of like wins.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. I mean, we do see that a lot in the playoffs, but it would make sense for it to happen in the regular season.
Then they keep him in for another inning and a half, and I told you about Chapman
never do that.
Cubs. Can't do
never
that.
Do that.
Why are we not bringing in our best reliever when we need him in the seventh, when the ninth inning will be started with a two-run lead and no one on base?
And I don't think, I can't speak for you. But I don't think every team should be adopting this.
No.
I think the Yankees have the luxury where they can. Because they have all these guys that are closer material.
Yeah. Yeah. True, because there is something about going out in the ninth inning that the analytics can't. And the analytics, they...
Like, remember Dellin Betances? Man could not close for his life.
Exactly. And that's where people kind of get confused with analytics. They acknowledge that there is a human side of this game that they can't quantify. And you can't quantify just the pressure of going out and being the guy, being the closer in the ninth inning. You can't quantify the clutch gene. The advanced analytics podcast I listen to, they know that being clutch exists, but they're never going to be able to put a stat on it. And running and score batting average with running in scorer position is not an adequate stat for it. But yeah, I would like to see the Yankees aren't going to do it because Chapman isn't going to go. He doesn't want to go out in the seventh. He wants the saves. He wants that bread. That's where players get paid with these stats. But it would be pretty sexy to see Chapman come out in the seventh and just completely stop a
rally.
Comeback. Yeah,
it's nice to see how much of a team player Chapman really is. Chapman loves being a Yankee. You could just tell. Because, first off, he goes to Chicago, wins the World Series, and then comes back to New York.
Mm-hmm. Who,
at the time, I mean, we were looking up and up, but it wasn't like a World Series contender when he first came back to us. Then we hear he's going to opt out last season. I can't remember who reported that, but someone reported it, and then he shut it down, where he goes, listen, I'm a Yankee. And then in the off season, he does opt out, but he does it and then immediately signs an extension.
Uh-huh.
So, Chapman, I don't want to say he wouldn't be willing to come out in an inning that's not the ninth. Obviously, he'd prefer it. I think Britton prefers it. But Britton also realizes how good the Yankees are.
Yeah, and shit. Let Britton get the saves and bring out Chapman when we need him. And if we need Chapman in the ninth, bring out Chapman in the ninth.
Because Britton, remember when he was a free agent after we got him at the deadline, what was that, 2 years ago? He was rumored to go somewhere else because he wanted to be a closer.
Uh-huh.
And the Yankees were like, listen, you won't be a closer, but you'll be in the back end of a bullpen on a World Series contender. And he was like, well, I mean, how could you pass that up?
Yeah.
This bullpen really is something special. And I hope it works out for us in terms of we keep hearing that a bullpen is needed for the World Series.
And then it ends up you need a starting rotation.
Yeah.
Do you want to touch on that? Paxton bounced back. That was kind of scary.
Paxton did bounce back. And we saw it last year, too, where he struggled out the gate. He brought up in summer camp that he wasn't there yet. He brought it up in summer camp, late summer camp. And then we started, and he just wasn't ready. I mean, it's unfair to expect everyone to come out at their best after, like, 3 weeks of training. Yeah, they had spring training. But after you're not playing for however many months and the only physical activity you're getting is training by yourself, it's not the same. So to ramp back up, and we're seeing a bunch of injuries now because of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially to pitchers. How many injured pitchers are there already?
Yeah, and it's arms, it's knees, it's Achilles for Soroka, which is terrible to see him go down
that. We see Soroka go down, we see Otani go down, we see Canely go down. I mean, these are Osuna.
His name just went down.
Verlander
and Bumgarner.
Bumgarner goes down. I mean, these are all. Not only are they, it's what, like the third week?
Yeah. Yeah, and how many games have you played?
We're seeing all these high-profile players go down, and they're just not ready. So to see Pax did not do his best, I get it. He just was not ready. My fear is that a lot of pitchers were at the same level as Paxton in terms of not being ready, but were overthrowing to compensate for it. And my fear is that some people are still kind of doing that and just getting lucky and not getting hurt. But eventually, the luck's going to run out. So, that's just a theory. Obviously, I don't know that. But it is a fear I have.
You want to talk about luck running out? Why did Boone keep Paxton in?
It wasn't a smart decision. And obviously, hindsight 2020, but even at the time, it's a questionable choice.
Our win percentage for the Yankees is 88% at the end of the seventh. After the Yankees bat in the seventh.
Okay.
Jose Martinez comes out. He doubles the center. It goes to... The Yankees still have an 89% or 87% chance. Then Hunter Renfro flies out. Yankees win percentage or win expectancy goes back up. And then Mike Brosu, how do you say his name? The two-run home run.
Yeah.
Now they have a 30% chance of losing. The Rays have a 30% chance of winning. He should have been taken out before the inning started, but then, after the double, take him out. Then take him out after the home run, but then why did he stay in for the Brandon Lau home run, too?
I don't know.
He was just pushing it, trying to... You see, that's kind of why I don't think Boone would ever use Chapman in the seventh when we need him. He wanted to get Paxton that six innings to qualify for the win or the quality start or whatever we're going by this time of year. And he shouldn't have been out there.
Obviously, I mean, at the end of that, obviously it sucked that we lost. But at the end of the day, I'm feeling good about Paxton.
Yep.
Like, I don't think he's going to be immediately in a Cy Young type like ability yet.
We don't need him to be when we have a Cy Young and Gerrit Cole.
True. And Gerrit Cole has been very good for us. He doesn't even have a loss yet. He hasn't had a loss since May of last year. That's yeah, so insane.
Yeah.
Like, think that's so long ago. Granted, there's a lot of games that weren't played because of the pandemic. But still, I mean, he hasn't had a loss in so long, and it's getting close to the record.
What is the record?
I think the record was 25 starts. He's at 20, I think.
It's goddamn.
So
this isn't a win streak. It's a start without a loss streak.
Yeah. So it's nice to see.
I ball with it. I'm down with
it. You know who had a nice streak going was DeGrom. It got ruined a couple starts ago, but he had like a scoreless inning streak that was just insane.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Like it was, I don't think it was getting close to a record or anything, but it was notable. Let's move on, but before we move on, wait, actually, you have the list of our top 30 prospects before we move on?
Yeah, I hate to put you on the spot, but do you want to take a crack at, like, a top five?
Okay. This is going to be rough, considering our farm system isn't what it used to be. I'm not going to go in order, but I'm just going to go someone in the top five, and if I get it right, tell me where they are, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So Davey Garcia.
He's third.
Okay. Clark Schmidt.
Second, which is huge.
Who's number one? Do they have Dominguez at one?
Oh, yeah, baby. He's only 17 years old. He's number one prospect.
Goodness gracious. Michael King isn't considered a prospect anymore, right?
No, he is. He is 26th.
Oh, he's all the way down there? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you know these other two.
These other two, is Albert Abreu up there?
Abreu is 12th.
Okay, then I might not know the next two.
Oswald Peraza, he's a single A shortstop.
Okay.
And Luis Gil is a right-handed pitcher who
I know Luis Gil. Yeah, I should have been able to guess that.
Yeah. Florial stays in the top 10, but he's not expected to arrive in the majors till 2022. Anthony Volpe is in there at 10. He's expected to arrive in 2023. What are some other? Anthony Siegler, 2022. He's the catcher.
Isn't Volpe? No, Volpe is shortstop.
Yeah. Volpe's who was our first round pick this year?
Oh, goodness. Wasn't it another catcher?
Was it Siegler? No.
No, it wasn't Siegler. Who was our first round pick this year? Hold on.
Austin Wells.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, he's sixth.
Wow, he's that high already.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Hmm. That's pretty dope.
Imagine being that young. I mean, he's 20. He's our age.
He's 21, yeah.
And he's just top 10. Dude, it makes me feel like such a loser.
Garcia's 21. Schmidt's 24. Do we see? We definitely see Schmidt this year. We definitely 100%. See Garcia, right? We have to, especially with the injuries that are going to start piling up.
All right. So let's move to around the horn. But before we do that, let's take a quick listen to one of our sponsors. Come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. Thrive Fantasy has eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about top-tier athletes in their respective sports. You could choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup. Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur. The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is. So rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Use promo code BOOGIE when you sign up today, and you'll receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy on the app or Play Store, or by visiting their website at www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and hashtag prop up today.
You're listening to the Boogie Down Bombers podcast. Here's your hosts, Austin, Tim, and Nick.
All right, so we are now back with Around the Horn. Around the Horn is where we go around the league and talk about things that don't have to do with the Yankees. So, obviously, Judge has been going off, hitting the home runs he has, and it's been something special to watch. But something similar is happening on the other coast, because Fernando Tatis has been absolutely unstoppable this year.
I was gonna say something good about Tatis, but I accidentally hit the farthest distance again, so it showed me who has the smallest distance. Harrison Bader, his max hit this year is 200 feet.
Are you serious?
That's the farthest a ball he's hit has gone.
Oh, yikes.
God.
That is not great.
His average exit velocity. No, his average feet is 68 feet. His average exit velocity is 64. Oh my God. Poor Harrison Bader.
68 feet is the usual. That's not even the first base.
Hold on, wait a second. That is only in five at bats because he's only played 5 games. But still.
Wait, he's had 5 at bats in 5 games?
No, 5 balls in play.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now go back to the complete opposite of Harrison Bader and talk about Fernando Tatis.
Tatis is something special, man. And you know when you look back at a trade and you knew it was dumb at the time, and then time goes on and it looks even worse?
Yep.
I think that's the Tatis deal. I mean, what was that? How did...
Was that for James Shields?
That was for James Shields.
Jesus.
Who wasn't even great with the Padres.
No, he had just given up the most home runs in the majors, and then he gets traded to the White Sox.
And it's not like Tatis was some nobody. He was a highly touted prospect at the time. So I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me. And they did it, and I mean, the White Sox got nothing out of it. They got James Shields' contract, and the Padres got Fernando Tatis, the shortstop for the future. I mean, it's crazy. And the Padres are looking... They're not there yet, but give it like 2 or 3 years, and this is going to be a team... That's playing for a championship.
Yeah, I mean, I've already tried betting against the Padres a few times this year, and it's not working out. They're a decent team.
I mean, Fernando Tatis made me money the other day. I put money on him hitting a home run.
That's dope.
Yeah, it was sick.
That must have been awesome. Was it his leadoff home run too?
Yes.
Oh, so that just takes the pressure off immediately.
Yep, I had.
You get to enjoy your day.
I had, not even an issue. Like right, direct, home run, and that's the other crazy thing. He's doing this in the leadoff spot.
Yep.
Imagine if Judge was our leadoff hitter. It'd be.
Well, then, LeMahieu wouldn't be on base for him every time.
True, that's why LeMahieu's the leadoff hitter, but it. It really is something special happening.
No, but
there.
That is a good point. I kind of got away from the point. Imagine if Judge was our leadoff hitter. Yeah, that would be crazy.
It'd be ridiculous.
That's what they have in San Diego.
And they have beautiful jerseys.
Yep.
I mean, the whole feel of the Padres right now is a good feeling. It's similar to, like, late 2016 Yankees, where you knew we weren't a playoff team yet. But we felt good because we knew the future was going to be nice. And that's what's happening in San Diego right now. Once they get pitching, and they have a few nice pieces in their rotation, but when they get deeper pitching and a better bullpen and a few more roster spots filled up, that's going to be a good team. I mean, you have... I always have trouble pronouncing his first name. Danielson LeMay. Who...
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to say his name.
He just flirted with a no-hitter the other day. A solid arm in the rotation. You have Chris Paddock.
Paddock. Yep.
Another solid arm. But it kind of falls down from there. So you add a few more rotation spots. I'm not sure... I know they're... Their farm system's pretty nice. I don't know what their prospects are. I'm not sure what their pitching...
Well, the prospect list just came out. Let's see if...
See if they have any arms on that list.
Oh, my God. Mackenzie Gore.
Oh.
Yeah. he's in the top 10, isn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's the fifth best prospect in baseball. And he's their left-handed pitching prospect.
Yeah, so once he gets called up, if he pans out to be what they think he'll be, I mean, this is going to be a good team. And
yeah,
they're fun to watch,
I think
too.
They're kind of done. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... 7 of their top 10 are expected to make their debut this year and next season.
I mean,
so they're not even done bringing up new talent.
I mean, they have Manny Machado. For some reason, I keep forgetting he's there.
Yep.
So, I mean, that left side of that infield is pretty looking. I can't remember who their second baseman is. And their first baseman, Eric Hosmer.
Jerickson Profar.
Oh, Profar's there. He's not there. He's not going to be a franchise piece. I mean, let's be real. He's a nice...
He doesn't have to be, though.
No, that's not what his role is going to be. He's there right now, but he could be a nice bench piece. But Eric Hosmer, that contract doesn't look great.
No, that was a little weird.
Yeah, I was questioning why they did that when they did that. Will Myers and their outfield isn't put together yet, which is why
Tommy Pham.
Tommy Pham is a nice piece, and I still don't understand that move for the Rays.
They didn't want to pay him.
They didn't have to yet. I guess they figured...
They knew, let's see how much
they
out of him.
Try to get the max return on him. So, in a few years, that's going to be a nice team in San Diego. Beautiful ballpark, everything going right for them. You know where everything is not going correct?
The Mets.
Well, that's not who I was going to talk about. But yeah, you're right.
Where is it not going right?
Cleveland.
Okay, I like this transition.
Because when I was growing up, I had nicknames for teams. Like, I would call them the... Every team that was in the Yankees when I was growing up, I hated. It was just me being a kid, and I called.
You've matured.
Yeah, I mean I'm a. I like to consider myself. I could watch any game and enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I used to call the Red Sox. I called them the Red Sox, and obviously that's not. I would do the same thing with the White Sox. Not very creative. You know what I called the Cleveland Indians?
I don't know.
I used to call them the. No, you're not
cut this out.
You're not gonna have to cut this out. I used to call them the Cleveland Idiots.
Oh, I like that.
They are living up to the name because Plesac and Clevenger thought they would be a smart team decision here, and they went out for dinner, in Chicago. What are you doing? I don't get it. I don't know what they thought they would like. Yeah, no one's gonna notice us. I mean, Clevenger, we can spot you from 2 miles away with that haircut and those tattoos.
Yeah, good for whoever splotted Plesac, though. I could not pick him out of a crowd.
You're right. But the one thing I noticed is Plesac got caught first. We didn't know Clevenger was with him right away. So we hear about Plesac, and then Clevenger ended up defending Plesac in like a team meeting. And then it turns out he was with them.
Yeah. So I'll hedge your roast of the whole franchise with at least they had the wherewithal. We're going to make this public. We're going to embarrass these guys. We're going to send a message, and we're going to send these guys home. They didn't try to cover it up. They made the right decision there.
Oh, no, you're 100%. I'm not blaming the organization. That's just legitimately what I called them growing up. So,
oh,
I mean,
okay.
Plesac and Clevenger just lived up to that nickname.
Okay.
But the Indians organization handled this the best way they could have. And I don't get... What's shocking to me is I don't think Clevenger understands what he did wrong.
He doesn't.
Plesac seemed to be more apologetic. How real it is, I don't know. But I think Clevenger is a class A moron.
Clevenger gives off a weird vibe to me.
Like, there's parts of Clevenger that I like. Like, I hate his hatred for the Astros.
You like?
Yeah, there's parts that I like. Like, I like his hatred for the Astros. And okay. How he was burying them. But let's just say homie's not a scholar. It's ridiculous. When you look at all the other sports and they're doing a bubble, and okay, it's hard to do that with the MLB. Okay, whatever. It's hard to do a bubble. Just do it yourself. Like, don't go anywhere. I don't know what's so hard about that. You make a lot of money, guys. And even though you're rookies, you still make more money than the rest of us do.
They have a choice. They can either buy in and not go out and follow all these rules and play baseball. And if they don't want to do that, they have the option to not play.
Exactly.
They're not forced. They are not being forced to play baseball. If they don't want to do it, they do not have to.
Exactly.
If they don't want to follow these protocols, they don't have to, but you can't play baseball. Don't put all the other players at risk. Don't put the sport at risk because you don't think it matters or you don't think it's fair that you have to stay home. Buy in for these 3 months, and we'll be back at it next summer.
True. I mean, that's correct. There's no better way to put it. They're just a couple of morons. And they're so right for each other.
I can't take another team outbreak.
No, it's not fair to the team. And there's no way that the Cleveland Indians are looking at Plesac and Clevinger and being like, I'm glad they're my teammates right now.
Yeah.
It's not going to earn you any locker room respect. That's for damn sure. And they're established good players, but they're not like these veterans. I mean, a veteran doing it would be wrong, too. But it's such a bad look for the players. It's a bad look for your organization. But, I mean, the Indians really, really handled it well. Let's move on. Let's close out with this, and I am so excited to talk about this. The A's and the Astros had a brawl, and it's not what you would think of when you would say, oh, the Astros got into a brawl. It's not someone throwing at them because of what they did. It's this weird, it's so weird. John Boy did a phenomenal breakdown of this. But Ramon Laureano gets hit with what looks like a slider a few days ago. So then he gets hit again in the game. And what's so funny is he's showing the pitcher that he has to flick his wrist more with the slider.
Yeah, he's like, if you don't know how to throw this pitch, don't throw it.
Yeah, it's so funny. But he gets hit twice in that game and like three times overall in the series. Then he gets the first and he never starts yelling.
No.
He's just like talking smack in this such a cool way with being like, you're throwing it too straight. You got to like flick it.
Yeah, and that was baller.
Yeah, it's easily the coolest thing he could have done there. Then he gets to first base, and the hitting coach starts chirping at him. And apparently what he says is something about his mother, which is what starts it. But not only on top of that, he makes the first step towards Laureano, and he does like the fingers come here motion. And that's going to get any player to run at you. It's going to get all of them. And Laureano charges at him. And what you would notice is, after they create like a wall in front of the hitting coach.
Yeah. And everyone was roasting Laureano for being taken down. Anyone's getting taken down by five people.
Yeah, especially if five major league athletes are trying to get you down, you're gonna go down. I don't care if you're Prince Fielder or not. You're gonna go down.
And the hitting coach, they're like. In the description, it says, we should know his name, but this quote-unquote disappeared. And I'm like, okay, yeah, he probably just, like, moved out of the way.
He's just standing there.
Like, no, it's like, in the video, like, he like, disappears. I don't know where he goes.
It's one of the John Boy video is one of the funniest John Boy videos I've seen. Because at one point, Maldonado has a mask on. And then the next, he doesn't, and someone on the complete opposite side of the scuffle has his mask in his hand. It's so funny. I don't know what anything's happening. But then the guy who said, come here, and allegedly, we don't know if it's true that he said anything about his mom, but allegedly said something about Loreanna's mom, is just standing directly behind the scuffle.
He's like, your mother. And he's that was the magic word.
Like, just like 3 feet behind the back of the brawl is where the hitting coach is. Now, what comes out today is the suspensions for this. Have you seen the suspensions, Tim?
Yeah, what? He gets less games than Joe Kelly gets for not hitting an Astro. And Laureano, he didn't hit an Astro with a ball, he punched an Astro. Or at least tried to. So, yeah, Major League Baseball got smart here and gave him the lower suspension. Gave the coach, what, 20 games?
Gave the coach 20 games.
Joe Kelly can't be suspended for 8 games.
He cannot. No, he definitely can't. 8 games is far too many for not hitting a player. Especially in a 60-game season. Now, how do you feel about the 20-game suspension for the hitting coach?
Good. The hitting coach has no place. He's supposed to be the one who's stopping players from fighting, not egging other teams on to fight.
Yeah.
If I'm the Astros, though, this is a softball. They need to just suspend him for the season and say, look, we've had our issues with sexism and bad stuff and cheating in our organization. And here, we're getting better. We're suspending this guy for the whole season.
You see, now here's the thing. Here's where you went wrong in your assessment there. You expected Jim Crane to be a smart person.
Yeah, and that's exactly.
It's not going to happen. I mean, what moron says that he's sorry he had to let go of the guy who made the sexist comments?
Yeah, that's not a good look.
It's not a good look at all. I don't know what he was thinking when he said that. Then, I mean, what's happening in Houston right now is absolutely beautiful. They've lost 5 in a row.
Yeah, what the heck's going on there?
Altuve forgot how to hit a baseball and forgot how to catch a baseball. And I thought we were going to see this, but then when it came out that there were going to be no fans, I didn't think we were going to see this. But we're still seeing it. We're seeing the Astros crumble. And it's not even because they're getting booed mercilessly. I didn't say that word right. It's not because they're getting booed out of the town. They're just playing bad. I don't know why. And it's so
see,
great.
This is the thing. Altuve is batting 157. Springer's batting 103.
Those are Chris Davis numbers.
No, actually, Austin, I hate to
that's
be like
worse.
This. That's Gary Sanchez and Gleyber Torres.
You know, that's true. But we're winning.
So those are literally their numbers.
Yeah.
Though I don't know what those what I'm just saying it just fits the narrative. There's no narrative around Torres and Sanchez, so we're just like, oh, they're struggling.
You're right.
I don't think it's because they're cheating. They were cheating. I think that Altuve and Springer and Bregman and Correa, they're just having a tough start, and now stuff's starting to compile on top of it, and there's pressure, like you're seeing with Sanchez and Torres. They're pressing at the plate now.
You know, you're right.
I don't think it's because they're not cheating.
No, I'm not saying it's because they're not cheating. I thought it was going to happen because of the pressure of the fans booing them all the time. Uh-huh. But I don't know. See, the thing is, there is no narrative with the Yankees, as you said. So there's no reason to believe that it's anything else. Like, we didn't create this narrative. They created this narrative. It's their fault this narrative exists.
It's not a stretch to say. Yeah, it's not a stretch to say that the pressure is what's getting to the Astros.
It could still be the pressure. So, obviously, their pitching isn't great right now. I mean, they lost Verlander. And they have a bunch of rookies in their bullpen right now. But it's
their
just
bullpen is crazy bad.
It's just beautiful to see. I'm loving the fall of the Astros. Now, is it the fall or is it that they're struggling in the first month of the season? True. But you gotta let a man dream.
Wouldn't it be nuts if they're just completely done? All five of those guys?
It'd be poetry in motion.
I would feel kind of bad.
That makes one of us.
All right. If the let's say the over, I'm setting the over under at 10. Has Houston been hit by more or less than 10 pitches this season?
This season? I think
league less. League average is 8. Mets have the most at 16.
Damn.
Toronto's been hit by 0.
I think they have less than 10.
I accidentally asked a trick question. It's exactly 10. I didn't mean to do that, but...
Oh, okay.
That's a good guess. It's not as high as I thought it would be.
Well, here's the thing. The teams that are going to do it are still going to do it. I don't think it's... The Dodgers, I think there's going to be... Because they're going to play the Dodgers a lot this year. I think there's going to be more beef with the Dodgers.
I don't think... Not with an 8-game suspension for Kelly. Even if it gets lessened, I don't think that anyone's going to really try it anymore.
But, now that's... I think you're right in terms of the Dodgers starting it, but what if the Astros start it?
True. That's going to be a must-watch series.
If the Astros start it, it's the Dodgers are not going to just let it happen.
No, they're not going to. No.
I don't think they're going to be very passive. So, that's going to be must-watch television. So... thank you guys for listening. We hope to see you next episode. And go Yankees.
Go Yankees, go Bills.
Miss you, Nick.
Miss you, Nick. Sorry that Nick couldn't be part of this one.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at BoogiePod. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.